Right, so Mr. Richard Gray, unfortunately at the date the hearing was, won't be here, although it wasn't able to be here. So Michael Brock will be adopting his evidence as indicated.
Yep.
He's the environmental risk and compliance manager of the South Island. He's read the evidence, he's comfortable to speak to it, so I'll ask him to do that now. So just be aware it's not his evidence, but he's happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so shall we just see if we have questions? Any questions from Mr. Gray's evidence?
No, from me, thanks.
Lloyd, any questions? No, nor did I, so we could have saved you a trip, sorry.
We're going to have a change of cast, if you wouldn't mind, just to give us a moment. We'll swap over witnesses. Thank you very much.
In any correction?
Yes, there are just a couple of internal paragraph references which, when I read through it, were wrong. So one's in paragraph 6.7.
Okay, six. Yep.
At the end of the third line, there's a reference to paragraph 24.
Yep.
But the new numbering system would have that in paragraph 6.3.
Okay. Yep.
And in paragraph 7.6. At the end of the first line, the reference to paragraph 29 should be paragraph 7.2.
7.2. Yep. Okay. And for the rebuttal, any corrections while we're there?
No.
Great. And like the other witnesses, you're welcome to highlight key points for us. But we have read the evidence and found it to be very clear.
Okay. Yeah, there were just two points I just wanted to make sure that you're on top of, and they relate to the management of groundwater in Appendix L2 and L3.
Yep.
So the first one is in Appendix L2, and the key point is referred to in my paragraph 8.4. So this is where groundwater effects on surface waterways are classified in terms of direct, high, moderate effects. Mm-hmm. And for the moderate effects, the correct management system is that they should be included in the surface water allocation, but they shouldn't be subject to minimum flow restrictions. And that's because the effect is quite delayed, so you would end up restricting a groundwater abstraction for no real benefit.
Yes.
And that's correctly spelled out in Policy 23, but it didn't get transferred into L2, so the latest version I've seen still said that moderate effects should be subject to minimum flows,
yeah.
And that's not correct, and it's not consistent with the advice in the Section 42A report.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that's sorted out. And then in Appendix L3, which is interference effects,
mm-hmm.
It just needs to be a reference that the assessment of those interference effects should be to properly constructed and operated bores. And this is the problem, that otherwise an inefficient bore or a bore that's too shallow or that relies on a surface pump might end up restricting the proper use of that groundwater resource. But other than that, I think the things I've raised are pretty well sorted out. And in Mr. Willis's evidence, he covers off the appropriate wording of the changes. That all seems fine to me.
Thank you very much for that. In terms of those two key points that you highlighted for us, we're aware that Table Y2, which should probably be called Table L2, to be sensible about it.
Yes, it's in L2.
Can be significantly clarified, simplified, and improved to be consistent with the policy. So
good.
We're aware and we're on top of that.
Good.
And take your point about properly constructed and operated boards.
Yes.
That's terminology commonly used around the country.
Yep.
So thank
sure.
you very much for that.
Okay, thank
see
you.
If we have any other questions for you. So, you're in board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one. In your evidence, 5.1, you're talking about Appendix E, and you make comment there that the appendix and the consent condition aren't aligned. Would you like to make a little more comment about that?
Yes, so Appendix E talks about a conspicuous change in clarity of words along those lines, and to me that's open to interpretation as to what is a conspicuous change. And if you look at the discharge consent that Fonterra has to the Tower River, it's defined much more precisely about a measurement with a black disc changing by a certain percentage. So it just seemed to me that was a much more precise way to define what a conspicuous change in clarity is. Now, the Council of Officers have said that sort of a more precise definition can be specified in the FMUs, and I mean, if that's the case, that's an option to resolve it. But I just thought saying conspicuous change will mean different things to different people, so if you can be a bit more precise about it, it would save a lot of arguments further down the track.
So just taking that a little bit further, do you think that instead of using the words no conspicuous change, we should actually be a little bit clearer?
I thought that would be helpful.
And is it words to make it clearer or a specific testing methodology?
Yeah, yes, I would have thought that would be helpful to define that. So you can still refer to conspicuous, no conspicuous change, but then as defined by a black disc measure, if it does not change by... does not reduce below 80%. And the only reason you would defer it to the FMU is if the council officers think there will be different criteria applied or different definitions applied in different waterways. And if that's the case, then that might be fair enough to defer it. But somewhere in the process, either here or in the FMU, it should be defined much more precisely than just leave it where it is. There's no conspicuous change, because that will mean different things to different people. It's not helpful if it's not clarified. How to measure that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No questions.
Thank you. That was a good explanation about conspicuous change. It is helpful, I think. Thanks.
Anything else? Mr. Callan, just in terms of that issue, conspicuous change, Fish and Game raised the same issue. And you recommend at the bottom of your paragraph 5.1, where you've given words for us to consider not being reduced below 80% of the value upstream. Fish and Game have suggested not being reduced below 70% of the upstream value, mainly by saying a 30% change from upstream would be a conspicuous change. Do you have any technical preference for 70 versus 80?
No, I in the 80%, I'm just quoting the words that are on Fonterra's Matara discharge consent. I mean, if Fish and Game can tolerate a 30% change, then that would seem completely acceptable, I would have thought, to most people.
And I'm glad that was your answer, thank you. And I have no questions from the rebuttal evidence, but thank you for providing that. It's helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.